This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
South Louisiana holds its breath. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka on this Monday, August 15. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Deadly flooding in the Baton Rouge area, and not all the rivers have crested yet. More than 20,000 people have been rescued, with thousands of others in shelters.
For a second straight night, violent protests in Milwaukee. One person has been shot and a police officer was injured. We'll take you there.
From Rio, Simone Biles gets another gold, and Usain Bolt sprints to his unimaginable third gold in the 100 meters, still the fastest person on the planet.
And trying to understand those teenage mood swings and lousy decision-making.
Puberty usually takes center stage, and this has physiological effects. Kids' spatial learning and certain kinds of reasoning skills actually decline at this stage. So parents really need to teach organizational skills and also to help them make sound decisions. These basic skills can really help kids a lot.
Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger and what teens need most from parents. She's here in about 20 minutes. More tension in Milwaukee lasted into this morning, a carryover from an incident over the weekend in which police shot and killed a man. One person was shot last night and a police officer was injured. The weekend violence stemmed from the death of Seville Smith, a 23-year-old who was shot while trying to flee from an officer who had stopped his car. Police Chief Edward Flynn says body camera footage showed Mr. Smith had turned toward police with a gun in his hand after a traffic stop. The gun was reportedly stolen and loaded with 23 bullets. Kimberly Neal, sister of Mr. Smith, told ABC News that she disputes what officials are saying.
Seville never had a gun. The gun was in the car. They ran from the car. He tried to get away from the situation. Seville was shot in his back.
After peaceful vigils earlier, Milwaukee police said late last night they had rescued one shooting victim who was taken to a hospital. It was not known whether the injured person was a protester. One police officer was hospitalized after a rock smashed his patrol car windshield. Let's get more now from Gene Miller. He's host of Wisconsin's Morning News at radio station WTMJ in Milwaukee, one of our affiliates. Gene, catch us up to date.
Pretty much a repeat of the night previous, although minus the burning of buildings and so forth. Confrontations between demonstrators and police in the same neighborhood, the Sherman Park neighborhood on Milwaukee's north side. And as you recounted, Gordon, one officer was hurt, one person, an 18-year-old, was shot with a serious wound. But the trouble seemed to break up shortly after midnight, about 1 a.m. local time here in Milwaukee.
Okay, so then reverse things, Gene, to Saturday night. Explain what went down.
The shooting, obviously, Saturday afternoon was what stoked the violence. People began to gather, and from there, things escalated and unfortunately deteriorated to the point where 6 buildings were set on fire, including a gas station that was thoroughly gutted, and there were confrontations as well with officers, numerous arrests. Another officer was hurt in that incident as well. And then it quelled as the day went on. Things seemed to be peaceful. Some community leaders spoke. Others gathered to help clean up the mess from the night previous, but then again last night as the crowds began to gather in the darkness, trouble flared anew.
Wow. All right. So there does seem to be a conflicting reports, at least between city officials and the victim's family. Are you able to piece any of that together at this point?
It's he said right now in terms of that, although Police Chief Edward Flynn says there is body cam video from the officer who fired the shots. He says it was a very short encounter, maybe 20, 25 seconds in all. That body cam video is now in the hands of the State Department of Justice in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. When there's an officer-involved shooting, an outside agency has to investigate. In this case here in Milwaukee, it'll be the State Department of Justice. And Flynn says that that video will be released as soon as it can be. Their concern, obviously, right now is that they don't want to do anything that would harm the actual investigation by releasing the video too early.
All right. So best we can tell at this point, too, for those who keep score for these types of things, the officer involved in the shooting was black. The victim was black here. Has that had any kind of impact on the demonstrations?
Didn't seem to last night, and the concern, obviously, for the officer by Chief Flynn is that he has been receiving threats. He is living with relatives now, they say, outside of the city, so the tensions still remain high.
Yeah. We're speaking live this morning with Gene Miller. He's host of the Wisconsin Morning News program on radio station WTMJ in Milwaukee, one of our affiliates. What is that neighborhood like where this went down? Is it Sherman Park?
Right. It's one of our older neighborhoods, obviously, in the city. Beautiful homes back in the day, but it is a neighborhood that those who live there will tell you has deteriorated over the course of years, that there's been trouble. We have a police department whose union head is saying that they need more manpower on the streets, that they are stretched too thin, and that the city hall is not responsive to those requests. Meanwhile, you've got others who say, you know, you can't police these kinds of things away, that there are deeper issues involved in this community, not unlike other large older American cities in this region. But Milwaukee has got its own unique set of problems in terms of its relations with its African American community, the lack of opportunity, the high rate of arrests and crime. And it's a segregation issue that has been with us forever. We have this reputation, and the numbers seem to confirm this is the most segregated, if not one of the most segregated cities in America.
Is that right? And what? Why? Just things have gone unaddressed?
It's gone unaddressed. We had almost 49 years ago to the day a riot in Milwaukee that left three people dead back in 1967. And as someone who's old of tooth or long of tooth, having lived through that one, this is almost a deja vu of what we heard after those civil disturbances back in the 60s in terms of what the problems and concerns are today. It would seem that in the course of a half century, little, if anything, has changed for the better in that community.
Wow. You're not the first person I've heard say that, this type of thing kind of has gone unaddressed since the 60s. But this has been kind of an unsettling period in Milwaukee in general, right? at least in recent memory, too.
There was an officer-involved shooting in 2014, a black man shot to death in a downtown park by a police officer who was not criminally charged but was dismissed, fired by Chief Flynn for not following police procedures in that case. But we've had demonstrations after that shooting in the community. The victim's relatives have been at the forefront of organizing those protests, calling for justice for the victim. And those protests, for the most part, have been maybe disruptive in terms of blocking traffic during the rush hour. There was a protest on a freeway, but nothing violent, nothing at all like what we've seen this weekend.
You get the sense that the type of conversations that are happening need to change in Milwaukee?
That's a really good question. I think what needs to change is the follow-up, that in the course of these discussions, nothing changes. Nothing seems to get done. There are calls for more opportunity in these neighborhoods, more jobs, more transportation opportunities to get a workforce back injected into the local economy. But it always seems to fall short. Nothing seems to change. The crime continues. The lack of opportunity, the lack of new business in that community continue to go on, and nobody seems to pay attention, those who live in that neighborhood say, until something like this happens.
Thanks, Gene. Gene Miller, host of Wisconsin's Morning News at radio station WTMJ in Milwaukee, one of our affiliates. 14 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Monday, a weekend of water rescues as record rains led to massive flooding in Louisiana. And while the rains have eased, at least one river in the southeast part of the state won't crest until today. State police helicopters delivered food and water to hundreds of motorists, some of whom were stuck for more than 24 hours in flooding near Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge resident Shaunti Jordan says the situation is similar to Hurricane Katrina 11 years ago.
It's pretty much on that wavelength. I don't know how bad it's going to get when once the water starts to rise, once the river's crest, but I don't even want to stick around to figure it out.
Governor John Bel Edwards, who had to leave the governor's mansion because of flooding, said last night that more than 10,000 people were in shelters and more than 20,000 were rescued across South Louisiana. Several people are reported dead. Parts of the area have received up to 25 inches of rain since Friday. The weather did improve some yesterday, but flooding issues will continue for days. Parts of Mississippi also felt the impact of heavy rains and flooding, with states of emergency declared for several counties. Four American swimmers, including star Ryan Lochte, have been the victims of an armed robbery at the Olympics in Rio. United States Olympic Committee officials said the four swimmers, Lochte, Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and Jimmy Fagan, left a party at the France House near Rio's lagoon early yesterday in a taxi and were headed back to the Olympic Village. A USOC spokesman said their taxi was stopped by individuals posing as armed police officers who demanded the athletes' money and other personal belongings. Lochte spoke to NBC about it.
These guys came out with a badge, a police badge. No lights, no nothing, just a police badge. They pulled us over. They pulled out their gun.
Lochte and his teammates apparently violated at least one recommended protocol. The U.S. Olympic Committee advised athletes not to use taxis, but to take USOC vehicles, media buses, or Uber, which apparently is approved by the State Department because of its location tracking ability. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, at least one person was shot last night as unrest continued in the wake of a fatal police shooting over the weekend in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood. Police moved in before 11 p.m. to disperse the crowd after protesters started throwing objects. That's when officers said they received reports of shots fired. Officers rescued the female shooting victim and took her to a hospital. At least one officer was injured in the unrest. More than 10,000 people in Louisiana spent at least part of their weekend in shelters trying to escape floodwaters generated by days of heavy rain. The National Weather Service warns that there's still danger of fresh floods as swollen rivers drain toward the Gulf of Mexico. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards.
The National Guard used their helicopters throughout the day to deliver food, water, and medicine to those stranded, as well as to remove people from their positions and bring them back to a place of safety.
More than 20,000 people had to be rescued from their homes as rain-swollen rivers flooded their banks. Five people have died. Two terminals at New York's JFK Airport are resuming normal operations this morning after reports of shots fired prompted evacuations and grounded and diverted flights.
Roger, we got a call. Shots fired. Terminal 1, lower level.
Yes.
Roger, I copy. Have available strike teams head over to that location at this time.
The reports, which led to some frightening moments for flyers last night, were later determined to be unfounded, and the airport was given the all clear. Ryan Lochte and three other U.S. swimmers were robbed at gunpoint while out celebrating the end of the swimming events at the Rio Olympics. Their taxi was stopped by individuals early yesterday morning posing as armed police officers who demanded the athletes' money and other personal belongings. No one was injured in the incident. In Olympic competition, Simone Biles won her third gold medal, this one the vault final.
Second score is over a 16, a 16.033, 15.966 average. Simone Biles wins the gold medal.
Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt won his record-setting third straight title and his seventh Olympic gold. Bolt ran the 100 meters last night in 9.81 seconds. Justin Gatlin of the U.S. took silver.
There's another good story last night, too, that South African 400-meter guy.
Oh, yeah.
Van Niekerk, mm-hmm. I think his name is.
Yep.
Whose coach is that 74-year-old woman. Oh, man, it's a great story. I mean, he beat Michael Johnson's record, which had stood for like 17 years.
Yeah, that was
he ran like 43.06 or something like that once around the track.
There's been some grit stuff.
That is not fair. Cannot be that fast. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS.com.
AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. As you may have experienced, the teenage years can be mystifying for parents. Sensible children turn scatterbrained or start having wild mood swings. Formerly level-headed adolescents ride in cars with dangerous drivers or take other foolish risks. A flood of new research offers explanations. It's a story from Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. Sue, what's new here?
There's been a flood of new research on adolescents. It's an exciting time, really. Dozens of studies, including brain scans, experiments in the laboratory, are shedding new light on how teens change through the course of those years between puberty and the 20s. And I took apart the studies and tried as best I could to analyze which phases stood apart. For example, age 11 to 12, puberty usually takes center stage, and this has physiological effects. Kids' spatial learning and certain kinds of reasoning skills actually decline at this stage, and kids' prospective memories or the ability to remember what they're supposed to do in the future is not nearly strong enough to keep up with the intensified demands of middle school. So parents really need to teach organizational skills, help kids put memory cues around the house, to remember their gym bag, to do their homework, and so on, and also to help them make sound decisions. These basic skills can really help kids a lot.
Mm. So nowhere in there, Sue, does it say put your foot on the seat of their pants to try to kick them into gear. That's not recommended here?
My attempt was to shed light on why those behaviors pop up. Teens actually are going through some tough physiological changes. For example, at ages 13 and 14, the stress response just kicks into overdrive, and they become extremely sensitive to their peers' opinions about them at the same time. It can be a very painful time because they don't have the social skills yet to really interpret what their peers are thinking very well. And my thinking is that if parents understand this, it makes it a little easier to try to stay positive through all the turmoil.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. She writes the Work and Family column. It's called What Teens Need Most from Their Parents. Well, you mentioned social skills, and I wonder if they're deteriorating because so many of them have their noses in their phones all the time.
There's other evidence in research that kids who do text a lot or spend a lot of time on social media are a little bit less tuned in to the actual physical cues of what someone's thinking or feeling about them. I think that's definitely been shown in research. The social skills, though, are a big, broad array of things that kids need to learn, including friendship skills.
Yeah.
One way parents can really help is to help them teach them how to choose friends and keep the ones that are worth keeping.
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. No wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Thanks for being with us. On this Monday, August 15, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Another night of violence in Milwaukee. The death toll increases due to severe flooding in Louisiana. Swimmer Ryan Lochte and three others robbed at gunpoint in Rio. Trump today will outline his plan to defeat ISIS. The French city of Cannes has banned those full-cover swimsuits worn by some Muslim women at the beach. Usain Bolt is still the fastest human on earth. More gymnastics gold for Simone Biles. Both basketball teams won. And the hottest beach party at the Olympics. That story in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is stepping up his attacks on the media, suggesting that biased coverage is the reason he's trailing in the polls. He's even got a media blacklist in which some news organizations are banned from covering his events because he doesn't like what he perceives as unbalanced coverage. But he's not the only one with a media problem. Reporter Hadass Gold at Politico has a look at how Democrat Hillary Clinton is also sidelining the press. Hadass, explain.
Normally, way before this point in time that we are in the election cycle, both candidates would have what's called a protective press pool. And this is a group of reporters who travel with the candidate pretty much everywhere, very similar to what the White House has, what the president has. And never before, pretty much in the last few elections, have we gone this long without one. Now, the Clinton campaign has kind of used the Trump campaign's lack of really any kind of normal press pool as a reason for them not instituting their protective pool. Clinton campaign does have kind of a quasi-pool where they do have a group of reporters who travel with them but in a separate vehicle or on a separate plane and are with them but don't go into as many events as a protective pool might. And the Trump campaign is in its own orbit in terms of, you know, they very rarely have a pool, and I think they've only done it twice now, and it's only kind of the outlets that are with them at that point in time, and obviously they have the issue of the banned outlets.
All right, so what is it? Clinton and Trump don't want to give the type of access that others before them have given?
Well, I mean, by having a protective pool, you pretty much have reporters on you at all time. They travel on the planes with you, and they're spending more time with senior staff. And so if you can avoid it, you know, most candidates would want to avoid that and want to be the ones who get to dictate their interactions with the press.
So this protective press pool might have, I don't know, how many people in it, for example?
Well, it really depends, but it would be normally, you know, 10 or less. So it's not a very big group of people. You have representatives from the wires, from the print outlets, and from broadcast and probably radio as well. So sometimes it can be very small, like a very core group of people. And what they do is that they send out dispatches to the rest of the media so that there's no kind of unfair advantage.
We're speaking with Hadass Gold, media reporter at Politico. Her story is called Clinton's Press Problem. So what's the Clinton campaign saying about this at this point?
So the Clinton campaign, to the reporters, did say that part of the reason that they haven't done it is just because Donald Trump also has not done it. So they say, why should we, you know, be the ones to do this and that when our opponent hasn't even gotten close to it. They have indicated, though, that by the end of August, they should have a protective press pool in place. The Trump people actually might even, if they go through with what they told me, they might even beat her in terms of when they put up a protective press pool. I heard from one of the senior communications advisors that they plan on making some kind of announcement about a protective pool as early as next week. But when I asked him a follow-up, would that include banned publications? Politico is also considered a blacklisted publication for the Trump campaign, although they still respond to us. He did not respond to a couple follow-up emails. They might announce a protective pool, but it might be as open as they typically are because they might not include these banned publications.
Wow. So if it's still called a protective press pool, does it still get that label if some of these organizations like yours are blacklisted?
Well, now, who gets to control where the information goes is up to the media organization. So we might not be allowed to be on the rotating pool, but we could still receive the information. We could be included in that email list, the distribution list that they send out. So we would potentially still get that information, but just not get the opportunity to physically be on the pool, which that is important as well because you build relationships with the staff, you build a relationship with the candidate, they get to know you one-on-one. And so there is an advantage to being on a protective pool.
Thanks, Hadass. Hadass Gold, reporter at Politico. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to WIX.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Thanks for being with us, and a good Monday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it would be hard to find a TV anchor who hasn't had a nightmare about going on the air in their underwear, or with even less than that. Gary Lineker of the BBC actually stripped down on purpose, however, after losing a bet about the English Premier League. The retired soccer player bravely stripped to his boxer shorts to present the program Match of the Day on Saturday. The stunt was the result of a promise Lineker made late last year. He vowed to appear on TV in just his underwear if his former soccer team, Leicester City, won the Premier League in May. The chances were certainly in his favor. Odds makers made the club a 5,000-to-1 long shot at the start of the season, but in perhaps the underdog story of the year in sports, Leicester City walked away with the title. So after several months of will he or won't he speculation, Lineker finally made good on his hashtag pants promise. The good news is he had plenty of support. One cricket club posted a photo of their players watching his newscast while stripped down to their skivvies.
Good to have the support.
Yes,
I guess.
Good for him for making good on his promise, but it also is a little unfair when you're a former athlete. Like, he has definitely had a better physique than, like, say, you know, say I made that promise.
Probably.
Just for instance.
Probably.
You know, he's a better physique, so it's a little bit unfair, I think, to us regular broadcast types.
And by the way, this was the opening weekend of the Premier League.
Yes.
And you might have to work on your English accent if you're going to continue to deliver these types of stories. It's Premier League.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. That's not happening.
No? Not going to do that?
I don't think so.
English Premier.
Yes.
Premier.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if we can make that happen. And, Gordon, you know we love a good dumb criminal story, but dumb and high criminal stories get extra special attention. Police say a pair of 17-year-olds in the Central California community of Winton were arrested and released to the custody of their parents on Friday after passing out in a haze of marijuana smoke outside of a construction site with their SUV packed with copper wires and other items stolen from the property. The youths also had a loaded gun, which investigators determined had been stolen in March of this year. The two were arrested on suspicion of participating in a criminal street gang, possessing stolen property, and having a loaded firearm in the vehicle. Now, police say it's not common that thieves are passed out in front of the crime scene, making it exceptionally easy to catch them, but it does happen more than you'd think.
Really?
I mean, that's rule number one, is once you steal something, is to leave the scene
of
the crime.
Crimes, yeah.
I don't have, like, much experience, but I assume that's rule number one.
Mm-hmm. It might be worth exploring. You apparently know this stuff.
Yeah. More than I should from all the stories that we do about these dumb criminals who do dumb things like this.
So it's the stories you've written.
Yes.
That give you some knowledge of what to do if you've stolen something.
Right.
That's
right.
Yeah.
If my employer is listening, yes, that is the answer.
Apparently you're an expert on reading stories. You have no experience whatsoever.
None that you are aware of, no.
I see. Or none that there's record of?
Right, exactly.
Got it. Hey, Mike, it's 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to michiganbusiness.org to learn more. That's michiganbusiness.org to learn more. Good Monday to you. Sorry if that's a conflict of terms for many of you. Potentially big news on the health front. New research by the University of Manchester shows that Alzheimer's can be fully cured with an anti-inflammatory drug commonly used for period pain. Alzheimer's is a disease, as you know, that causes acute problems with memory, thinking ability, and behavior. In the U.S., an estimated 1 in 3 senior citizens has some form of dementia. International Business Times says researchers worked with mice to find that a common non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug routinely used to relieve menstrual pain, mefenamic acid, completely reversed the inflammation of the brain and memory loss in the specimen. Mefenamic acid is available as a generic drug and is sold under a variety of brand names. Researchers found that the mice treated with mefenamic acid saw a complete reversal of memory loss, while the placebo group's condition remained unchanged. To be clear, animal and human trials may yield different results, but this appears to be some significant research. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Cordon across southern Louisiana, residents scrambled to get to safety as rivers and creeks burst, their banks swollen from days of heavy rain that in some areas came close to 2 feet over a 48-hour period. More than 10,000 people were in shelters yesterday. Residents like Shanti Jordan have been through this before.
It's pretty much on that wavelength. I don't know how bad it's going to get when once the water starts to rise, once the rivers crest, but I don't even want to stick around to figure it out.
In high water vehicles, boats, and helicopters, emergency crews hurried to rescue scores of South Louisiana residents. As the governor warned, it was not over. Five people have died. A wildfire has destroyed at least 10 homes and forced some 4,000 people to flee their homes as flames jumped a road and moved into a northern California town. The fire reached Main Street in Lower Lake, a town about 90 miles north of San Francisco yesterday, and burned the post office, a winery, and several businesses as thick black smoke loomed over the small downtown strip. Police in Milwaukee say there was no repeat of widespread destruction of property in last night's protests following the fatal shooting of a black man by police. One person was shot and wounded. Police say 23-year-old Seville Smith was shot by a black officer as he turned toward the officer with a gun in his hand. An account Smith's sister disputes.
Seville never had a gun. The gun was in the car. They ran from the car. He tried to get away from the situation. Seville was shot in his back.
The incident started with a traffic stop. One person we won't see at the 2017 Super Bowl, Adele. The singer told an audience in L.A. that she was asked to perform at halftime but turned it down because she can't dance or anything like that. The NFL and sponsor PepsiCo deny making Adele an offer to perform, saying they've had conversations with several artists but didn't extend a formal offer to Adele or anyone else.
Did they just accuse Adele of being a liar? What just happened here?
They did.
Come on.
This happens every year, doesn't it? The rumors start, and then they say they didn't offer, and the person's like, well, yeah, you did. And
yeah, I don't understand that those basic communications breakdowns.
Yeah, I don't know why you can't say it.
I got to be honest, Jennifer, I'm not performing at the Super Bowl either. Right? I mean, I'll just come out with that statement.
All right.
Well, nobody's asked me. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Thanks for being with us. The best way to mix athletic events with a party atmosphere at the Olympics in Rio is to attend beach volleyball matches. USA Today says the stadium at Copacabana Beach has become home to one of the more raucous parties on the strip, with sun and sand, plenty of beer available, pulsing dance music, and strobe lights to help. The night matches are scheduled for 11 p.m. and midnight. They come complete with a light show before and after each match. The fans even have choreographed dances to celebrate big moments. The monster block dance is broken out, as you might imagine, after giant blocks, with fans in unison raising their hands up and swatting down at the ground. The ace-ace dance celebrates aces and is executed by forming a Y above your head, sort of like the YMCA, then clapping your hands together. The most popular, though, is the super spike dance, which is done to a remix of the POD song Here Comes the Boom, in which fans wave their hands above their heads in a spiking motion. It's unclear, USA Today says, what criteria is used to distinguish a regular spike from a super spike, but that has not slowed down the crowd. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.